Well, this morning we're taking a look at another few verses in the Gospel according to Mark. And it's an amazing piece of writing, an amazing story that Mark tells. Before we get to that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks for your holy word. We give you praise and thanks that you speak to us and call to us. And we pray that you'll open our hearts and our minds now that we might learn from you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Gospel of Mark is quite amazing. And Mark is the kind of writer who just wants to get to the point. And he begins by saying, this is the good news that's arrived in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, often good news arrives on the radio or the television or through something that's written. But this is good news that comes from a person. Because Jesus is the anointed one. He's the Christ, the one blessed by God. And he adds something to that description that would have been totally shocking in those days. He says that Jesus is the Son of God, which would have shocked people totally back then. And in one sentence, he just says so much. One sentence that was shockingly controversial. In that one sentence, he's saying the whole world has changed. It's a different place now. And he links all of this to the fulfillment of ancient Hebrew prophecies. The promises that God made long ago, he says, have become a reality. He talks about preparation, all of us being prepared for this amazing thing that's happening. And he says about John the Baptist, calling to people to get their hearts ready, their minds ready, their souls ready for the arrival of the most important, the greatest person ever to walk on the face of the earth. And Jesus comes for baptism from him, and he goes down under the water of the Jordan River, and he comes back up, and a dove descends, which is the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus. And then the voice of God from heaven, and it speaks, and it says, you are my son, the beloved. With you, I'm well pleased. And Mark wants everybody to know this Jesus is God. He wants you to see that he's no ordinary person. He wants you to know that your whole life depends on knowing Jesus. And he's the one with the ultimate world power. And there he is standing for everyone to see. And there's an urgency about all of this because the very next thing that happens is that Jesus is driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And there in the wilderness, the devil tempts him. He tries to get Jesus to say, none of that God thing is important. Follow me. That's what the devil's saying to Jesus. And Jesus is saying, no, I don't listen to you. I listen to my God in heaven, my Father in heaven. And so Jesus shows that he has the power to overcome evil, overcome the devil. And that's part of the reason that he's come to earth, is to do that for you and for me. And the kingdom needs a king, of course, if it's going to be called a kingdom. And Jesus is identified as the king who's come to rule. And Mark makes it really clear that Jesus is ready to have baptism for you as well. That the water that will make you clean, he'll baptize with water, but also he'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit, which gives you the power to be able to live in a different way. And Jesus came from Galilee proclaiming this good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. So repent and believe the good news. So the time is now. You can't wait. It's like when the bus arrives at the bus stop, if you don't get on, you're going to miss it. And Mark's saying that about the arrival of Jesus. You've got to get to know him. You've got to see him and hear him and know who he is. The time is now. And with this event happening, this time is now event, there's also the euangelion. And euangelion means the good news that brings joy. And that's what Jesus is. That's what his message is. The joy that brings good news. The joy that's found in knowing him. And then he says you need to repent, which means to go in the opposite direction. And what does that mean? How do you describe that? Well, Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he sees two brothers, Simon and Andrew, and they're throwing their nets into the water and hoping to catch some fish. So Jesus looks at them and he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people, fishers of men. In the Greek, it's anthropon. And immediately, they just leave their nets behind, and they followed him. They made a decision right away. And then Jesus goes a little bit further along, and he sees the sons of Zebedee, James and John. And they're getting their nets ready to go fishing. And Jesus calls to them too, and he says, "Follow me." And they dropped everything. They left their dad, their family business, their nets, their boat, and they followed him. Repent. When you repent, there's only one direction to go in, and that's the direction of following Jesus. You stop going in the old direction, the direction that you sort of were hoping was going to bring you satisfaction in life, so that you can turn and follow God and follow him because you know that that's the way to real life. What's Jesus calling you to leave behind? Because you know, he calls to everyone. And whenever he calls us, there's something that we're probably needing to leave behind. Jesus' call is disruptive in our lives. It's in traditional cultures, you know, your identity comes from your family. And when Jesus called John and James to follow him, they left their father. And that was very radical. And it doesn't mean they had nothing to do with their father after that, but it means that Jesus became the central figure in their lives and that they were following him, that he was the priority now. And in our culture today, it might not be such a big deal to say, well, I'm going to follow my career now. I'm not going to follow my parents or what they have to say. And you know, we grow up and we make our own lives and we find our own path. But then Jesus calls to you and he says, "Follow me." And it's a call to put him over your career. It's a call to put him over all those other dreams that you had and find God at the center of your life. And that, for us, that idea of leaving things behind or not following as closely to our career, leaving that behind, that's a radical call. And when Jesus calls to you, it's a call to follow him. And that means that you might know him, that you might become like him more and more, and that you might learn to serve him and to serve other people, and to make him the supreme passion in your life. And we're a little bit afraid of that in our culture. We're afraid that that sounds sort of like fanatical, but it's not really. You know, a fanatic is somebody who follows a set of rules or disciplines with such intensity that they can't see anything else. All that matters really are the rules. And there's many religions in the world, and they all have sets of rules to follow, and they say, well, if you do this certain thing, then you'll win God's approval. Or if you follow this set of rules, God will be good to you. And you've got to do enough things to make God happy. But Christianity is different. It's a joyful news kind of relationship. Christianity is the only religion in the world that says God has done everything necessary for you so that you can be right with him, that it's God that's done it all, that he's shown you his love, that he's died for you, that he's given you new life, that he's forgiven you. And you can't earn your way into God's favor. God offers you his favor as a free gift. He offers you his forgiveness. He offers you the joy of being in his presence as a gift. And then God says, "Journey with me. Know the truth. Be set free. You're my child and I love you." Christianity isn't like a self-help book. That's not what the Bible is, a self-help book. Christianity is a message of good news, and it's the message that comes in the person of Jesus. And Jesus is all about passion. He's passionate for you, and he wants you to be passionate for him. He wants Jesus to be the absolute goal in your life. And when you do meet somebody else, somebody who has a different set of values, somebody who has a different set of priorities, a different political view, a different faith, you won't assume that they're inferior, because you'll see that God loves us all and is calling to us all. You won't try to oppress them. Instead, you'll look for ways that you can serve God and serve them and demonstrate the love of God around you. Jesus doesn't reject anybody, not for their political views, not for their education or their lack of education, not from where they come from or their marital status. He just welcomes everybody and loves everybody. And it's about following this Jesus, this God, who loves us so much that he came to the planet and was willing to die for us that we might have this new life. And one of the areas that's sometimes maybe a bit confusing is understanding the difference between believing in God and knowing God. Angus Reid did a survey of Canadian attitudes toward belief, and they found that 76% of Canadians believe in God or some kind of a supreme being, a higher power. But there's a difference between believing in him and knowing him, because you're called to follow Jesus, and following him means it changes who you are, changes how you understand the world and people and life. And as we follow him, as we get to know him, God transforms us. And let me ask you that. Are you being transformed by him? If not, maybe you don't really know God, know Jesus as deeply as you ought to. Because there's different levels of knowing somebody. You know, you might know somebody by reputation. You might have read about them or read their autobiography, but never really met them. And that's one level of knowing, but it's not as deep as it might be. Or you might know somebody by memory, you know, kids that you went to school with maybe, and then 20 years later, there's a school reunion and you meet that person now and they've become a different person. So you knew them then, but you don't really know them now. And that might be like what your relationship with God was like, that you knew him as a child, but as an adult, you haven't spent much time together, so you don't know him very well. Or it could be, maybe you think of your partner, you know, somebody you met a long time ago, you got to know one another, the more you knew about them, the more you wanted to get to know them, and you look back and you've been married for a while now and you've grown closer and you understand the one person, what they're really like. And that's what a knowing relationship with God is like, that relationship where we spend time together and we really do get to know and understand God, understand Jesus at a deeper level. And that might be like your relationship with Jesus, a long, deep, knowing relationship, one that transforms who you are. And a relationship with Jesus needs to be like that. You know, God says in Deuteronomy, you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you search after him with your whole heart and soul. If you're not being transformed by Jesus, by following him, then maybe you need to find a way to know him more deeply. And the Bible talks about that in the first letter of John, chapter 2. It says this: Now this is the way to be sure that we know him, by obeying his commandments. Whoever says, I've come to know him, but doesn't obey his commandments is a liar, and that in that person the truth does not exist. But whoever obeys his word, truly in this person the love of God has reached perfection. And that's what he calls you to do now, to follow him, to get to know him, to obey him, to love him, to love others, to love yourself. And sometimes we're embarrassed to say that we even know him, let alone follow him. If you've heard of him and heard him call your name, and if you've chosen to follow him, if you've been touched by God's holy power, Holy Spirit, and by his forgiveness, then God will more and more be real to you. You won't just know about him. You won't just remember some distant past time with him. You'll be in a living relationship with him, and it will change you, and you will find great joy in your life. And in choosing to follow Jesus, you'll want to be a part of bringing that light and hope and peace into the lives of other people, other friends. Have you heard the call of Jesus? He really is calling you now, calling you by name, calling you to follow him. And are you sure you're ready to follow him? Or have you sort of forgotten him a little bit in the past? And maybe now you're hearing that call again. And you can turn to him and you can find him more deeply in your life. He's calling you now to do that. And you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be worried. He's given you everything you need to follow him and to live a life worth living. During this Lenten time of year coming up very, very soon, we're going to be studying a book of the Bible. It's the Gospel of Mark. And the writer of this Bible study is the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams. And why don't you take a decision to get to know Jesus more deeply? Be a part of that Bible study that begins in Lent in a few weeks' time, and get to know Jesus on a much deeper level. I hope that you'll become a part of that. We're going to pray now and just ask that each one of us starts to hear God's call to follow him. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks that we can hear that call to follow Jesus, hear him calling to us now, and that we might leave all of those things that hold us back and that we might turn to follow him. Help us, Lord, to hear that call. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.